Welcome to The Laptop Lifestyle. I'm your host, Alexis Teichmiller, digital content creator for brands and companies and online entrepreneur. Whether you're running a business full-time, starting a side hustle, or just beginning to think about starting a business, you are in the right place. The Laptop Lifestyle is for you, the unconventional thinker, the person who isn't afraid to step outside of their comfort zone and pursue creativity over complacency. Each week, we will unlock how to build passionate online communities and thriving online businesses. All right, Laptop Lifestylers, let's jump in. Hello, hello, my Laptop Lifestyle family. Gosh, it feels so good to be back, and I'm just so grateful that you're here. Thanks for coming back to listen to another episode. And if it's your first episode listening to the Laptop Lifestyle, this is definitely going to be a wild episode. I can't wait for you guys to listen. But before we dig into today's show, I wanted to let you guys know that it's our two-year anniversary, you and I. I have been podcasting with the Laptop Lifestyle now for two full years, and that just feels so crazy to say. 2 years ago when I started, I was incredibly scared to put myself out there online, and I had bought my podcast equipment and literally waited 9 months before I actually had it, the courage to hit publish. And, you know, I'm just so thankful that I did, because it brought me all of you. It brought me closer to this community and just being in touch with the real sides of building a business, the vulnerable sides, the true life that no one talks about. So thanks for showing up and happy anniversary. Now to dive into today's episode, I'm really excited to share this couple with you. They are so fascinating to me. And so just a little bit more on who today's guest is. So today on the podcast, I have Dan and Tracy Kellermeyer. They are digital nomads. And in the summer of 2017, they both left corporate America to pursue running their own online businesses. And they've actually spent the last year and a half traveling the U.S. as full-time house sitters. And I just find this so interesting because I've never had any house sitters on the podcast before. And we dive into all the nitty-gritty of house sitting and how they run their online businesses. So basically, in exchange for providing free pet care and home maintenance, they receive free housing. And that lifestyle has allowed them to save thousands of dollars on rent and utilities every single month while they also get to travel at the same time. It's insane. So Dan is a financial planner and founder of New Heights Financial Planning. It's really cool because he actually works with clients who are interested in pursuing a location-independent lifestyle or want a financial advisor on call while they travel. So basically, he helps Laptop Lifestylers plan out their finances. Thanks, Dan. And his wife, Tracy, is a full-time VA because they founded their own virtual assistant company and practice management firm for financial planners and registered investment advisor firms, which is crazy. So they have their own VA business. Dan's a financial planner. Tracy's a full-time VA. And then they also have their own blog and podcast called The Money Smart Nomad. And they talk through all the ins and outs of saving and financial planning and holistic financial planning. And guys, we get into so many topics on today's podcast, including scorpions. Yeah, that's right. I said scorpions. Today's podcast is filled with so much entertainment. I can't wait for you guys to dive in and check it out. But before I do, really quick, if you guys are listening, or if you are finding inspiration throughout this episode, I would love for you guys to screenshot your podcast player, go over to Instagram and tag me in it, because that's how I start all my conversations with you guys and dig into what you liked about each episode. And then I get to ask you questions like, what do you want to see next? So thank you for doing that. It really allows me to know who's listening and to build more community with you guys. Also, I don't know if you guys knew this or not, but last month I actually launched a Laptop Lifestyle apparel line. Insane. So I have a t-shirt that says The Laptop Lifestyle, and then a really cool dad hat, like an adventure hat that has embroidered hashtag The Laptop Lifestyle on it. So if you guys are interested, I'll link those up in the show notes just in case you guys are wanting to sport your Laptop Lifestyle swag as you're creating. All right, guys, let's jump into the, to today's episode.
Hey, hey, Laptop Lifestylers. Welcome back to another episode. I have my new friends, Dan and Tracy, on the podcast from the Money Smart Nomad. I'm just really excited because they are such a unique couple. They house sit full time, and they've been doing it now for over a year and a half. And I'm just excited to hear how you guys have just managed to make this happen. I think it's so inspirational, and I hope you guys give us all the insider trading tips.
Yeah, sure. Thanks for having us.
Yeah, of course. So, yeah, thank you so much for being on the podcast. So I'm curious, first question, when did you guys know that you wanted to be house sitters? Like, at what point in your careers and in your lives kind of led you to that point where you're like, all right, you know what? We're going to sell our house. Like, how did that process happen?
Yeah. So it's nothing that we spent a lot of time dreaming about. We were kind of happened upon it, I suppose. So, let's see, we can go back to when Tracy and I got married. We got married in November of 2015, and we moved in together into a townhouse that we were renting in the suburbs of Chicago. And we were both, well, I was working from home already. I had a remote full-time job, and Tracy had a full-time job working in an office. So in, what was it, January or February?
In February, my employer told me I was going to be laid off in May that year. So it was only a few months after we had moved in and we signed a 2-year lease. Our plan was to save up for a couple of years so that we would have a down payment on a house. And sort of when I found out that news and wondered, what the heck am I going to do with my career now, was just sort of where we were thinking, you know, what else could we do here? And we had found the community of Laptop Lifestylers, you know, digital nomads, all of that sort of within those 3 months after we had moved in together and before I got laid off. And so that's when we really started thinking, like, how can we do something like that?
Yeah. And I think we just thought we both really love traveling. And we know some people that RV around full time. And we thought, well, we'd have to buy an RV, and we were still trying to keep our expenses low. So, and we just kind of stumbled upon the house sitting. And we thought, well, if we could string together a number of house sits back to back, then theoretically, we don't really need any rent or utilities or anything like that. So we found a couple of house sitting websites. One is trustedhousesitters.com. The other one is housesittersamerica.com. And we decided to sign up. And I think the sign up fee for both was under $100 for the year. And we put a profile together and just kind of started applying to things that we thought would be a good fit.
That is crazy. Like, first off, Tracy, I want to hear more about that feeling when you found out that you were going to be laid off, because I think that similar feeling of like not having control over your career and your livelihood, like that's decided by someone else. Do you think that was a big spark for you to kind of go all in on your own business and kind of be the decision maker there?
Yeah, absolutely. I think it's just, you know, I didn't love my job, but I loved the people I worked with. And it was a job I had been at for about 4 years. So I wasn't planning on leaving anytime soon. I was comfortable there. But when I got that news, you know, I had been doing the same sort of work since I graduated college. So I didn't really have any experience in anything else. So it just really got me thinking about what my next move was. And I had a couple of months, which was nice, but it was still shocking all the same. And it just kind of makes you rethink, you know, everything. Like, why did we move to this townhouse where I was 2 miles away from work? Now we could be closer to family, or now maybe this is our opportunity to go full-time traveling, but what do we do? You know, there's just a ton of questions that just hit you, you know, and yeah, it just started conversations about, okay, what do we want our next couple of years to look like?
Yeah. And I want to dig into that because I think there are a lot of people who see people living a laptop lifestyle or maybe they're in a situation like you were, where they got laid off or they dislike their job and they're looking for something that they're passionate about, but they have no idea where to even start. So it sounds like you were kind of in that space. You were like, all right, our life is dramatically changing now, and what do we want it to look like? Can you guys kind of walk through maybe what you went through mentally to kind of get to that place where you decided, okay, we're going to help other, you know, digital nomads with their finances, and we're going to be house sitters. Like, how'd you guys land there?
I think it was kind of a progression a little bit. So when we decided to get into house sitting, like I said, I was still working my full-time job, and I was already working from home, and I just approached them with the idea that, hey, we're thinking about house sitting around. Does it really matter if I stay where I'm at, or are you okay with me moving around? And they were completely fine with that. And so it wasn't until later on, the next maybe 5 or 6 months, where we decided to shift our working situation a little bit. Just to back up a little bit further, I already had wanted to get into financial planning as a career, and I had gone through the certified financial planning coursework that year in 2016. So while Tracy had lost her job, I was taking the CFP coursework. I took the CFP exam in November that year and passed it. And so I had just started up a financial planning practice on the side. And so eventually it kind of morphed into helping other full-time travelers as we just, you know, later on down the line, as we started living this lifestyle. That's how at least we got into the financial aspect of things. We want to work with other people that are interested in preparing financially for this lifestyle, or for dealing with some of the nuances that come with living full-time, such as, you know, traveling around full-time, which is, you know, you need somewhere to get your mail, and banking can be difficult. And so there's kind of some nuances there that we like to help people with. But so that's how we combined the finance in with things.
So what's your guys' background in?
So I graduated with a degree in health promotion and wellness. And so that's what I had been doing for the 4 to 6 years after I graduated, was setting up wellness events and flu clinics and things like that, kind of dealing with the logistics as an account manager.
Yeah, my background's a little crazy. I went to Purdue University and graduated in 2009 with a degree in aviation. I wanted to be a professional pilot, fly for the airlines. That was kind of a childhood dream of mine, but you know, if anyone remembers what the economy was like in 2009, there was nobody hiring pilots. So I pretty much had to take whatever job I could find, which happened to be just doing some inside sales for a pharmaceutical distributor that I had some family connections with. And I had stayed there for probably 7 or 8 years wearing a bunch of different hats, did project management and worked in IT a little bit and customer service. And, you know, the paycheck was nice, but I also didn't really like busting my butt to make other people money. And that's why I really wanted to pursue financial planning, because we had a kind of our own personal finance journey. We paid off a lot of debt before we got married and really wanted to help other people. So that's what inspired me to get the certified financial planner designation. So I've been all over a little bit.
Yeah, I absolutely get that. I think it's cool to be multi-passionate. I mean, I think a lot of laptop lifestylers are. We have a lot of interests. There are a lot of things that inspire us and things that we want to create. It's just hard that you can't create all of them at the same time, right?
Right, exactly.
So I can tell that you guys have a really unique marriage. Like, from what I've heard, it sounds like you guys are very supportive of each other's dreams. And I'm curious, what's it like to work with your spouse? And then also, I also talk a lot about relationships on the podcast too. Like, in order to be a laptop lifestyler, you need to be with someone that is very supportive of your dreams and being multi-passionate and just supporting you through all the ups and downs that it means to really be an entrepreneur. And I'm just curious how you guys have found that balance, and how do you guys support each other in that?
Well, I think kind of going back to when we first got married, like, Dan was pretty miserable in his 9-to-5 job. He wasn't getting any fulfillment out of it. And so I just want him to be happy and fulfilled in what he's doing. And so when he brought to me that he wanted to pursue the CFP designation and be a financial planner, you know, I said, go for it. Do it now. Now is the time. And I just, yeah, we just try to be as supportive as we can for each other's dreams. And we kind of lucked out with the house sitting thing, I think, because that's not something Dan and I ever talked about. We didn't even know that it existed before we were kind of, you know, it was put in front of us. And so I think we were both kind of lucky in that respect that we were both really excited about the opportunity and really wanted to pursue it as much as the other.
Yeah, I think we're blessed to share a lot of the same passions. We really love traveling. You know, we actually were on the same page with money pretty quickly in our relationship with which was a huge help. And there's just, you know, that helps to start, but then just also just understanding what each other needs in the relationship is helpful too. So, and especially when we're working together and living together and traveling together 24/7, you know, I'm more of an introverted person and I get a lot of energy from myself. So there's times where I just need to go for a drive or just spend a little time by myself. And we just need to allow each other those little things that we personally need, especially because we do spend so much time together.
I think that it was definitely, you know, when we started working together, it was fall of last year. And I think it's definitely an adjustment because you're just adding a new dynamic to your relationship. And, you know, we still, you know, struggle with that sometimes. And we try to give each other space and not interrupt. It's just really easy to interrupt each other throughout the day with, you know, when someone's trying to work on something and the other person wants to talk about ideas. And as an entrepreneur, it's kind of, you get that bug, you know, you have all these ideas and you want to get them out there and talk to each other about it. So we try to be respectful of each other in that sense. And when we're working and then, you know, we can chat later, but it's definitely still an ongoing thing that we try to work on and improve on.
I love that, especially what you said, Dan, about knowing what the other person needs. And then Tracy, you touched on it too. Like, hey, I want to talk about ideas. And the other person's like, I'm trying to be productive right now. So let's exactly. talk about those ideas later. I think that's incredibly important and just being very in tune with each other, you know, communicatively, like making sure that you're communicating about what your needs are. I think I've seen that a lot, even in my relationship and in other people that are entrepreneurs, is that we get so focused and like head down on what we're working on that sometimes we forget to like look up and realize that, you know, you also have someone else's needs to think about too, other than just your own, especially when you're building a business. So I really appreciate you guys sharing that. I think it's a unique perspective. You guys might not know this, but you're the first couple I've ever had on the podcast too.
Oh, really?
Yeah. I love that. Which I'm like, answer all my questions about marriage and business.
Well, I think it is a little unique because, like I said, we are doing pretty much everything together and we are working at the same, you know, we're working on the same business. We're traveling in the same places, living in the same house, obviously. But it wasn't always like that. I think there's a few more pieces to the story, too, even during our house sitting journey, which we can get into later. But I had quit my job in June to pursue the financial planning practice. And Tracy had found another job working in the financial planning industry as a recruiter. And it was like a couple months after I quit my job, she loses that job. And so we were like, okay, we're both now self/unemployed and we've got to figure this out. So, you know, Tracy, I had another business helping other financial planners as a virtual assistant and kind of a technology consultant. And so she, you know, we thought, well, should you look for a part-time job somewhere, trying to find something virtually? But we decided that it'd be best to have Tracy help out with the virtual assistant side of things. And things really luckily took off for us there. So that's how we ended up working in the same business. But I think we face maybe some unique challenges that other couples, even if they are both working from home, they aren't necessarily working on the same business.
Yeah. That's very true. I think that marriages that are able to work together in a healthy way are some of the most powerful, like that's just a powerful asset because you're so in tune with each other and you're able to create and manifest things together. And you can communicate that to each other versus sometimes it's like, hey, I'm working on this thing. And your partner's like, that's awesome, but I have no idea what you're talking about. So I think that's cool that you guys are able to share that with each other. I do want to dig into the more like nitty gritty of the house sitting because you're able to basically live expense free house sitting from house to house all over the US. I have a lot of questions, but the first one is what has been your craziest house sitting experience?
Yeah, that's a great question. Luckily, we've been blessed to have had really, really, really great house sitting experiences. And we've only had one that was a complete nightmare.
Please share all the details.
Yeah, so it was our second house sit. And we look for long-term ones because we don't, you know, it's just a lot to be trying to scramble around, trying to find where you're going to be from week to week. So we look for people that are going to be.
Really, what's the date range there?
I would say probably anything longer than 3 or 4 weeks we would consider long term. But the houses that we started with were months long. So like our very first house sit was in Durango, Colorado, and we stayed there for 4 months.
Oh my gosh, I love Durango.
Yeah, so do we. That's like been our favorite place.
I'm obsessed with it. That's actually where my boyfriend, he did undergrad there. So whenever I would visit him, we were long distance. I visited him there for 2 years and I absolutely love Durango. Yeah, it has such a special place in my heart. So you were there for 4 months?
Yeah, we were there for 4 months. And then we went to Phoenix for 3 months. And that was Phoenix in the summer. And definitely our worst experience. And not just because it was Phoenix in the summer, but we... So we showed up the day before the house sit started and, you know, typically you go there, you meet the homeowners and meet the pets and get the keys and the rundown. And we showed up and there were moving boxes everywhere. Like the whole house was pretty much packed up and we're like, hello. and they said, hey, you know, sorry about the moving boxes. We actually just sold the house and are going to be moving in a couple weeks. And we're like, okay. Like, do you still need us? This was supposed to be a 3 month house sit. And they're like, yeah, we still need you, but you'll just have to deal with the move. And it's still in Phoenix. So I guess that was a good thing. But we had no idea where they were moving to, like what kind of neighborhood it was. So that was like our very first experience. And I think we learned a lot from that alone. But so we had it kind of, you know, it was just awkward. I mean, there was, a lot of the kitchen was packed up already. They had some plates and cups and things out for us to use while we were there for a few weeks. But it was a husband and wife and their kids, and they were all going to go to France. And she and the kids were going to stay there for the whole summer, but the husband was going to come back and help with the move. That was another thing. We're like, are we going to have to help move? And yeah, we had to move our own stuff, but luckily we didn't have to really help out too much with their move. But we moved into a new place and still, I mean,
into their new place. So you moved from their old house to their new house for them?
Right, right. And we were the first ones to actually live in their house before them. So it was so strange. Little bit odd. Yeah. And with that, they had people, you know, maintenance workers or whatever coming and going for like the next 4 weeks that we were in the new house trying to like get this set up and how they wanted. And it was just very disruptive to our work schedules. You know, they were just coming and going throughout the day all the time.
Yeah. And then the husband would come back occasionally because he would travel for work, but then he would come back on the weekends occasionally and sometimes with maybe a day or same day notice, like, hey, I'm going to stay at the place this weekend. And so he would stay there, which is, I mean, this is all not typical. Like, right. It's the homeowners go away and you watch their house and their pets for them, and then they come back. That's how that works. But he's coming back on the weekends and, you know, we're staying in his master bedroom. And so he's staying in the kids' room. And
that was just really awkward.
Really awkward.
Yeah. Yeah. And then
it gets worse, though. Yeah.
Please keep going. Yeah.
So, oh, gosh. I mean, it was maybe a couple weeks after we moved in. We had a friend over and we were staying up late and watching some TV. And she just looks down. She's like, is that a scorpion? And we're like, no, you know.
And I'm like, stop it. Yeah.
So silly.
Yeah.
But so I take a closer look and it's definitely a scorpion just crawling across the
A very floor. Large scorpion at that. And they're the Phoenix has the deadly kind. What are they called? Bark
yeah.
scorpion.
So Arizona has the Arizona bark scorpion and it's they are they're not huge, but they're a couple inches long and but they are definitely the third most deadliest breed of scorpion, I think, in the world. So we're like, okay. I mean, we were freaking out. I don't think we got much sleep that night.
No, I could not sleep. I was like in panic mode because I didn't know how many are there in this house. You know, can they get into the bedroom, like on the bed? How do I sleep? You know?
Oh my gosh. Yeah. And Yeah, so we told the homeowner the next morning, and he he was sort of mortified himself, and I think his wife was probably more mortified. But so they got a pest control guy out there right away to spray. And but the thing is, with the scorpions, they say it's really hard to take care of that problem. They said it could take up to a year to get rid of a scorpion issue because you have to control the food that they eat rather than trying to kill the scorpions directly. So this, they did spray, but it basically just tries to control their food source. It didn't really do anything. I mean, we ended up finding 7 different scorpions throughout the remaining weeks of our stay there.
So I told Dan, I said, if we find one in the bedroom, like I can't stay here anymore. Because we kept finding them like in the main living area. And every night we bought a black light because they glow in the dark with the black light if you shine it on them. So every night that was our routine. We were, you know, had all the lights out with our little black light flashlight and looking in all the corners and under the tables and things. And that was our nightly ritual. But one morning I woke up early, jumped in the shower. Dan was still sleeping. I got out of the shower. And at this point we were wearing shoes all the time in the house because they're so hard to spot. Everything was tan and white carpeting and whatever. So we wouldn't have been able to see them. So I go to put on my flip-flops and there I see scorpion crawling across the bathroom floor and screamed, woke Dan up. And we ended up having to tell the homeowners, like, we just don't feel comfortable sleeping here anymore. We found one in the master bathroom. So we ended up giving them like, I don't know, a week and a half notice, 2 weeks notice, something like that.
Yeah.
That's nice.
Yeah. I mean, so the husband was still around in town. So we didn't feel like we totally left them high and dry. There was only maybe a couple of weeks left in the house anyways. But we definitely learned a lot from this. Like, you want to have a solid agreement in place when you do this and just look out for any red flags. And although we didn't really have many red flags, which was the interesting part, like they just never told us they were moving or, and you know, it's just awkward. So what happens if you show up to a house and then they drop that kind of bomb on you? Like, having some kind of agreement in place maybe protects you a little bit, even though they're not paying us, you know, just to be able to say, okay, if you change your address within so many days, like, we have an opportunity to say if we want to continue or not, because they could have moved to a horrible neighborhood somewhere we didn't feel comfortable. And that's, you know, we try and do as much due diligence as we can. But, right. You know, when they do that kind of last minute stuff, then it doesn't help.
So, right. I honestly couldn't imagine. Thank you for sharing that story.
Yeah, no problem.
Insane. And was the scorpion issue in the new house or the old one?
It was in the new house.
Yeah. Oh my gosh. So basically they bought a scorpion infested home and y'all were like, peace. We're not staying here.
Right, exactly.
They did have a pool, which was nice. So there was that.
Yeah. Right. So you guys are in Vegas right now. Are you house sitting right now?
We are, yeah. It's actually a repeat sit. Dan house sat here last summer while I was visiting family at home. And so I'm here for the first time, and it's just a short sit. We're here for about 10 days.
So how do you guys decide? I guess my question is, do you have a specific region of the U.S. that you want to stay in? Would you ever do international house sitting? Because I've met a few people that do international house sitting, but it's I don't know what the scale is there.
Yeah, so it's actually way more popular in Europe and Australia, New Zealand than it is here, but definitely gaining popularity here. We spent most of last year in the Southwest, We did get up to Oregon and then kind of swung our way back through Texas and then back up to Chicago for the holidays. And this year we were back in Durango, Colorado in the beginning of the year. And we wanted to get out to the East Coast because we hadn't done any exploring there to date. So that was kind of our goal for this year, was to get out there. So after Vegas, actually later this week, we're leaving to go to South Carolina and we're spending 6 weeks there.
Oh, wow. So you'll definitely get to spend a good amount of time there.
Yeah.
So when it comes to the reasoning behind why people get a house sitter, like, I'm curious, what is that? Like, they're on a long trip? Is it they're traveling? Or what is the usual reasons why they hire one? And then if you guys don't mind sharing, is it just a trade? They just let you kind of sit and watch their house and their pets, and then they don't pay you, or do they pay you?
Yeah, those are good questions. So typically people that are leaving and they're looking for a house sitter. They, they have pets and they just want somebody to watch their pets for them without having to put the pets in the kennel or having strangers come over. So, you know, one of the benefits of having a pet sitter is that somebody's in your house full time and can watch over the house, watches over the pets, gives them one-on-one attention, things like that.
I would say the majority of the homeowners that we house it for are going on an extended vacation, or like the people we house it for in Durango, they have a second home in California that they go to every winter. And so that's why they needed a house sitter, because they were gone for 4 months, you know, and they needed somebody to take care of the cats.
Yeah, I think one thing that people may not be aware of that are looking for a house sitter that are going to be on vacation is that this is where the financial planner hat goes on. But a lot of homeowner insurance policies have some stipulations in there that say if you leave your house vacant for more than 60 days, that they may not cover any kind of claims. That so, like, let's say you go to your winter home in Florida and you left Chicago and you're house is sitting there vacant for 3 months and your pipe, like a pipe burst or something, causes a bunch of damage. If the insurance company finds out that you've been gone for 3 months, then they may not cover that claim. So having a house sitter there could be a protection against that. And to your other question, yeah, we do this for free. I think that's generally the arrangement with other house sitters too, is that the house sitters do this for free, but then also we don't pay any rent, we don't pay utilities. So it's a pretty good trade.
I would say so. I think that's an amazing trade. And you guys get to figure out what you like about different regions of the states, and you get to explore different places all the time. And even though your job, like your businesses are consistent, you get to change location all the time, which is like a core part of being a laptop lifestyler, is you get to choose where you want to spend the majority of your time. And I think that's so cool. I'm curious, are you guys thinking about going internationally, or do you want to stay in the States?
Yeah, we definitely want to go internationally, and we've talked about it. We just haven't kind of gotten to that point yet. I think now in our journey, we've been doing this for over a year and a half now, like you mentioned, and we're starting to think about maybe getting a home base somewhere. So we wouldn't stop traveling. Obviously, we love traveling, but just to be able to kind of have that home base and use that place as kind of in between our house sitting adventures or vacations or whatnot, would be really nice to have. You know, we miss having our own bed, and we miss being able to have a set up office. That's something we miss on the road, is, you know, we're working from couches and beds and kitchen tables and stuff, which is fine. But that is something we miss, is being able to have our own offices at home. And so I think international house sitting is in the future for us, but I don't know about this year.
Yeah, I think that's a good point you make too, about wanting to have a home base. I travel quite a bit for work, and just one of my side hustles is I'm a content creator for hospitality brands. And so I have a lot of contracts with tourism boards of like cities and states. And so I travel also very often, and I get so burnt out not being able to like have my own bed and have my office and like have that consistency of coming home. And so I could definitely see where you would desire that after a year and a half.
Yeah, absolutely.
Also, you guys are from Chicago and I'm from downstate Illinois. I live in Nashville now, but I'm from Effingham, Illinois.
Oh, nice. Yeah, I know where that's at. Yeah, we've lived and grew up in the suburbs pretty much our whole lives.
Yeah, my dad is from McHenry, Chicago.
Okay, cool.
Or not Chicago, McHenry, Illinois, yeah. Which is about an hour north. McHenry, Chicago. That's
it's basically a separate state, anyways.
Yeah, that's so true. So I'm curious, from a financial planner perspective, I know you help a lot of other laptop lifestylers with financial advice. And that's something that I haven't really had too much of on the show, just because I feel like all different entrepreneurs manage their finances very differently. But I would love for you to kind of give some advice for someone who is just starting out with a laptop lifestyle. And, you know, they're wanting to travel and they're wanting to kind of take their business full time as a blogger or a content creator or whatever that looks like. What would be some advice that you would give them to do in the first 6 months of starting their business?
Yeah, I think the biggest thing is having some kind of emergency fund. That's been critical for us. And if we didn't have that in place, then we would have been done so quickly. Because, you know, really the only reason that I was able to leave my full-time job and pursue the financial planning business was because we had money saved up and we probably had maybe 6 months of expenses saved up. And I think that's a really good benchmark, especially like the typical rule of thumb is 3 to 6 months of expenses. But especially for somebody living this kind of lifestyle, I think closer to 6 months is really more realistic, because we had issues like almost immediately after I quit my job. A couple weeks later, our car completely broke down and we had to get something new. And, you know, then Tracy lost her job a couple weeks later. So, like I said, if we didn't have that savings in place, we'd be, you know, in trouble. We'd be back at home we'd be right back into the 9 to 5, grind at an office somewhere probably. So, that would be my biggest piece of advice financially, is just having that emergency fund in place. Finding community, too. I know that's not really financial necessarily, but I think that if you want to keep this lifestyle going, just finding other people that are doing what you want to do and reaching out to them and making connection is so important. There's so many different unique ways people live lifestyles like this. And I think when people hear digital nomad or the laptop lifestyle or something, maybe you immediately think of being in Thailand and Southeast Asia and traveling around. And it doesn't have to be that way. You know, we've just stayed in the United States, but feel like we're living that same kind of lifestyle too.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, you make a really good point there on the expectation that people have whenever they start a business too. They see other laptop lifestylers, you know, doing the Southeast Asia like lifestyle entrepreneurship. And I think something that's important to note is that it can be whatever you want it to be. And really, you're creating a business that suits the kind of life that you want. Because you realize, I would think that life is more than just work all the time. You know, like it sounds like you guys are really building a business that lends itself to having a good lifestyle versus, like, you know, always, I don't know, being unhappy in a job that you dislike.
Yeah. I mean, you definitely have to tailor your expectations a bit with what you're going to be doing financially. I think even through some of the endeavors we started, where you're really excited about the idea and you go to launch it and it just takes time. And so, especially with the younger generation that we're a part of too, it's just like we have this instant gratification need. And I think, like, I personally struggle with that a little bit, just that I want to put up a blog and then expect 100,000 people to see it right away. You know, that's just not the case. Right. It just takes a really long time sometimes, unless you've got a really great niche or market already. It just takes some time. So I think people need to be realistic about what they can expect. And I know that's difficult because it can be an exciting lifestyle. And so you really want to get into it as quickly as possible. But I'd say just be patient, build up the savings, and it'll work out.
Yeah, that's I love the saving up too, because I think that a lot of people will get really excited. They'll start a side hustle. The side hustle will start making a little bit of money and then they quit their full-time job. And then they're like, whoa, 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 I shouldn't have done that so quickly. You know, there is a art of waiting too. And like you said, you had 6 months of savings built up so that whenever something did happen, you were able to cover it. So I don't know. I have a full-time job. The podcast is my side hustle. I have a couple other side hustles, and I like the way that they complement each other. Like, I like that my full-time job complements my side hustles and vice versa, because I also work remotely for a tech company. And so it's nice that you get to have the freedom and flexibility while also not, you know, jumping the gun like so quickly. So I'm curious, as far as like additional financial advice, you know, do you recommend hiring a financial planner, like taxes and all that stuff? Like, I think that as a blogger or as a photographer or whatever, like any kind of freelancer, they're so creative, but they don't necessarily think about the business side of things, like the financial side of their business. So what kind of advice would you have for them?
Sure. Yeah. Well, this may be a bit biased, but I definitely recommend people hire a financial planner. And I think what makes what I do a little bit unique is that we are living the lifestyle and traveling around full time, and we understand the nuances that occur there. I've talked to some clients that say that they had interviewed other financial advisors or planners and they just didn't understand it at all. And so that's why that people liked working with me on things, but that's sort of a shameless plug. But I would say that if you want to find a financial advisor that's going to help you with this, definitely look for somebody that is a financial fee-only financial planner, meaning that they are making their money directly from the fees that you're paying them instead of via commissions. There's a lot of advisors out there that sell insurance products and other investment products, and that's how they make money, by just getting the commissions off there. So there's a lot of bias. And typically those people just focus on investments. But the kind of financial planning that I do and most other fee-only financial planners do is really look at the holistic view of somebody's finances. So we don't just focus on investments. Right. We look at your taxes and your savings, your cash flow, estate planning, and people like me can help even with just planning out what the financial foundation looks like for you if you want to live this kind of lifestyle. You know, helping people form their businesses and try and figure out, okay, should this be an LLC? Should this be, you know, an S corp or something? Kind of act as the quarterback almost. You know, we certainly use the services of CPAs and attorneys to help kind of build that full picture, but you know, we like to look at things holistically and keep everything in the big picture.
Yeah, I think that's really good advice. Really good advice, because I'm actually looking into that as well, like more holistic financial planning versus just, yeah, the old school way of doing it. And I think that the millennial generation in general wants more help in all the areas of their life versus just one on investments. So that's a really good point as well. Guys, this has been such a good conversation. I feel like I've learned a lot about house sitting and scorpions and finances. So
very diverse. And I topic really appreciate here.
Agreed. And I really appreciate you guys kind of opening up about your marriage too and what it's like to run a business together and support each other. I think that's incredibly important, and it's been an honor to have you on the Laptop Lifestyle. I have one more question for you guys, but before I ask, I would love for you to share where my community can connect with you online.
Yeah, so you can follow us on Instagram or Facebook at The Money Smart Nomad, just all one word, and themoneysmartnomad.com.
Yeah. And also New Heights Financial Planning is my financial planning business, in case anyone's interested in that. And a website for that is newheightsfp.com.
Awesome. Thank you guys so much. My last question for you guys is, what does the laptop lifestyle mean to you? And you guys can both answer.
The top thing that I think of when I think of laptop lifestyle is just having the freedom to be able to go wherever and take your work with you, and just having that freedom to say, yeah, if we want to settle down in a house somewhere, we can have that. But if we want to go on a 2-month trip to Europe, we can certainly do that and still work. And I just think that's a beautiful thing, that, you know, our generation is lucky to have the opportunity to be able to do that.
Yeah. Especially in this country too. I think sometimes as Americans, we take things for granted a little bit. And sometimes you think like, I, you know, is this even possible in other places of the world where you can just start up your own business and make it a reality? And I think the American dream is still very much alive and people are pursuing that. But I would say freedom too. That was kind of my answer as well. And sort of like I said earlier, a lot of people have maybe a certain idea of when they hear something like the laptop lifestyle. It's not all like palm trees and crystal clear water and beach working and stuff like that. Like we still would consider ourselves living a laptop lifestyle, even if we had a house, but we are working our own businesses that are remotely operated. And we can, if we wanted to, travel to places that we want to go. Even if we have a house and we want to do another house sit, we can do that. So that's my answer. Just definitely the freedom.